morning and welcome to episode 185 of Taking Charge Podcast with you from Mannheim, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Another show full of hoops. And thank you for stopping around. We have, obviously, here at the Albert Schweitzer, so we're going to talk quite a bit about the Albert Schweitzer tournament. There's going to be a lot of information here about that. Don't have a lot of time. Need to actually get out pretty quick and head to the games. We're 3 days in, four undefeated teams with Germany, Serbia, Italy, France, all 4-0. Before we get to that, just want to let you know how you can get in contact with the show. You can reach me on Twitter at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. The website is heinnews.com. There's the email address is heinnews@gmx.de. And of course, there's the Taking the Charge podcast group in Facebook. Just put in Taking the Charge podcast and you'll find us. Fun community there, just talking hoops and whatever else comes up. Before I get to Albert Schweitzer, just want to mention that I was also at the I did end up going to the Bamberg yearly game where fantastic Bamberg continues to amaze people and beat CSKA Moscow. First time in history that they were able to do that. They've reeled off three straight wins over some pretty high level teams, Olympiakos, Khimki, and CSKA Moscow. And that Group F is pretty amazing. You look at Group B really quick. You have Fenerbahce and Kuban basically and already through to qualified, and Panathinaikos is really close with Zvezda and Anadolu Efes, the other two. So three of those teams will be making it through. The other three are 3-9 and already eliminated. But in Group F, the only team that's through is Moscow, CSKA Moscow. Though it looks like La Borel probably is just about safe. And they're pretty much safe. And then you have 5 teams. Olympiakos, Khimki, Barcelona, Real Madrid, and Brose Baskets Bamberg at 6-5, 6-6. All five of those teams at 6-6, with Shargiers down at 2-10. Bamberg broke their streak, 11 straight losses to CSKA Moscow, and just a fantastic game. They're still alive. They pulled off a really magical victory. Melly and Zizis really led the way, and really have to tip your hats. They definitely have a chance, without a doubt. They are in Barcelona this week, and that's a team that is beatable, and they already beat them at home, and if they can win that game, they might even already be in before their last game against La Borel on April 7th. The other games in that group this week, obviously every game is huge. Khimki hosting Olympiakos, and then La Borel playing against Real Madrid. If La Borel can get the job done, that would be a huge help for Bamberg. And I imagine that Bamberg are probably hoping that Olympiakos actually win the game against Khimki, since they beat Olympiakos twice and would then Much rather be in a tie with them. And then you have on the final day, you have, hang on a second. You have Olympiacos playing against CSKA, Real at Kimki, and then Barcelona's in Chagres, and obviously Barcelona has struggled on the road all year. We talked about that in the past. So some fantastic stuff, and I did, like last week, I wanted to just let you get the press conference with Andrea Trinchieri, the very... really a great coach to talk to and listen to. So here's Andrea Trinchieri's comments after the great victory.
I don't remember what was the record of Bamberg with CSKA, but I don't see the zero anymore on that line, so at least this special game, special night. Special persons in my locker room. We had Ali Nikolic starting five against the Colo. And I knew he's gonna be good. But the most important thing, my players knew that he's gonna be good. And this has no price for the coach. Because I know a lot of coaches with good ideas. Very few of them are lucky to have players that can take the ideas and make the ideas do something good on the court. We played, I say this to everybody, keep this game clear in your mind for long, because I don't know when we can give you this again. We just beat the strongest team in Europe, team that wants to win the EuroLeague. We beat them fighting, head up, making mistakes, not being perfect, grinding, playing defense, playing offense. Everybody was ready to perform. Everybody gave something. The people, the crowd was amazing. Great Stimmung. And historical win for Bamberg. Cannot say a lot more.
Dankeschön. Fragen an Andrea Trinchieri. Eine Sekunde bitte. Jawohl.
Coach, congratulations and big hellos from Russia.
It's cold like here. Eh? The weather is the same now. The weather is the same. Eh?
Was it a kind of a big objective to you to beat another Russian team, to beat two Russian teams in a row? Just another great opponent.
We, in Bamberg, we lost only against CSKA this season, because Real we lost in Nuremberg. So we just didn't want to go home tonight with the regrets that we didn't try. You know, 0-3, the last game was a blowout. We could not walk because it was the third road game in a row. We were like drunk on the court. They just kick us in the ass hard. And tonight we had the spirit that we want to compete to the very end. I don't believe that I can isolate one thing that made us win this game. I believe that we had a dream and we worked for that dream to win the best team in Europe. Now we are in this group. If you ask me the ranking, I don't know. I don't know what position we are. I had the clear picture that we are in a corner, you know, with all the big team of Europe throwing stones to us, and we are defending our position. And I don't know how long we will last, but we are still alive. And if you ask any person involved in basketball, at the beginning of top 16, in this group with Olympiacos, CSKA, Kimki, Real, Barcelona, Vitoria, where will be Bamberg? You know what they would say. So this is a journey, and we are enjoying every step of this journey. So when they made big plays, when he got technical fouls, two technical fouls, unsupported lying in the same play, we didn't have frustration. We just came back and play. This is the only way to play against who's better than you. You have to look them in the eyes and don't be afraid. Very simple.
All right, fantastic stuff as always. All right, so to the Schweizer tournament. Actually, I didn't sit down and figure out. I think this is my fifth or maybe even sixth Albert Schweitzer. Yeah, just having loads of fun. Drove by the old army, old army grounds on day two, and that just brought up a bunch of really nice memories. The situation that it's in now with the two sites, the one is kind of far. The Sphenheim is a little bit outside, but it's a pretty nice facility there, totally adequate facility there, and the facility in Mannheim is really solid as well. Organizationally, pretty much nothing to complain about at all. You know, these guys are veterans in this thing. They know how to run it and have just been fantastic. Games have been pretty good. Quite a few blowouts. You're going to start getting to see some interesting stuff. Germany was in a dogfight with really a kind of in shambles, and in shambles, Turkey side, and then Kostya Mushidi went off with I think he scored 15 in the fourth quarter, was just totally dominant, and I think they went on a 26-2 run. And just totally took over the game in the fourth quarter, and turned it into a blowout. Germany play Serbia tonight, so that's a matchup of perfect 3-0 teams. And then Australia and Turkey. Germany play Serbia tonight. Australia play Turkey, and they're both 1-2 with Argentina 1-2 as well. And they take on Japan, who's winless, so they're looking to probably get a second victory. Argentina, Italy, France are undefeated on the other side, with Greece, China, USA all at 1-2, and Egypt down at 0-3. Let's start the I'm not gonna really talk too much about players and stuff like that because of my first interview partner. It is Bronek Vovchinchuk. Sorry, Bronek, about that. He is a contributor with newbasketballgeneration.com, the website. And we talk a whole bunch about the various players and give our impressions on the tournament. This is through 2.5 days, basically. We talked at halftime of the Australia-Argentina game. So enjoy this, and we'll catch you on the other side of that. All right, so this week on the show, introduce another member of the basketball blogosphere community, Bronek Vovchinchuk.
Vovchinchuk.
A contributor to newbasketballgeneration.com. Welcome to the show.
Hi, David.
All right, so we're here at the Albert Schweitzer tournament, and we are watching a lot of good ball here.
Yeah, right.
And I figured it might be just a way, instead of me just talking, giving the listeners, sort of what their, my opinions or whatever, I just thought maybe we can kind of talk about the just some of the guys, some of our impressions from the tournament. It's basically after day three, so we've seen every team, or at least I've seen every team. You have two teams that you missed.
Yeah.
We'll come to that in a little bit, but maybe just first of all, seeing 10 of the 12 teams, maybe give us some of your impressions, what you think of some of the teams. Really start wherever you feel like and just kind of go from there.
So, first of all, I'm gonna say that I'm pretty excited about all those things. That first, that big international tournament that I cover. Not the first I went to, but you know, now I have to really work hard and look much at other stuff. So, I'm pretty excited about that. And for now, I happen to watch only blow-up games, but yeah, there is a lot of talent, but it's kind of hard to evaluate when the result is already decided in early in the second quarter or stuff like this, and the best prospects got really limited playing times, you know, so it's kind of tricky, but still I really enjoy that. So
actually, before you go too much further, and actually this is one of the things I kind of said, what, let's introduce yourself a little bit as well. I mean, you're Polish.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
So, I'm from Poland, like you said, 25 years of age. Of course, I played organized basketball in my city growing up. I ended up in Polish second division. Just one season, I wasn't like the biggest prospect or whatever. So, this scouting thing really started last summer for me. I was always interested in this, but you know, I didn't do much about that. So I went to Lignano and then really
for the under 20 European Championship.
That was like my start. You know, I tried to talk to people, just realize how does it work, and you know, get to know the players, expand my knowledge, make my own database, and after that I started to search some information about all the players, tournaments. I started to travel on my own, and after that, after a couple of months, I joined New Basketball Generation, scouting service approved by NCAA, and you know, that's the second tournament that I cover for them, and that's basically my story.
And you're a listener to the show, which is always cool. So
yeah.
And whereas the last introduction we had was Austin a couple weeks ago from Lost Crossovers. Yep. That was more of a question answer. I think what we're gonna do here is just kind of a back and forth on impressions of the tournament. Like you said, it does, you know, it is an indicator, or you really can't say too much necessarily about some of the prospects if the game is basically out of, you know, I mean, you can really tell that when the game's in the end who's really going to come and show up. And maybe just what team has impressed you? Let's start with that. We have Serbia undefeated, Germany is undefeated.
So yeah, German team is really loaded with talent, so they really want to win this competition at their place, you know. You can see that how hard they work on defensive end, and there is really depth in this squad, you know, really deep roster. So everyone contributes, everyone is ready to compete, so they have pretty versatility in this team, so everyone is able to run the fast break after rebound, which is a big advantage. They score many fast break points, so yeah, I think I go with Germany as a big impression for me so far.
You've seen them now three times. No, you've seen him twice. I've only seen him once, but I know the team, obviously. You know, one of the things that I think that they could use this tournament as a sort of a way to really form the unit that they're going to need. You know, I mean, this is in my eyes really the favorite for the under 18 European Championship.
Yeah.
You know, not having a guy like Hartenstein here in my eyes kind of hurts the whole cohesiveness, just to figure out how he fits in with all the others, especially now him being away in Kaunas. How do you know, if you look at the game yesterday, you know, Bunga's not playing either, but you know, he's here and he can kind of follow it and everything else. How much do you think that will, let's say the teamwork and the chemistry, how much of a factor do you think that'll be going forward.
Yes, so Hartenstein is a big ego guy, so it might really affect it. You know, I wish he played here and could adapt to this team better, you know, because they seem to have great chemistry, but for now everything is working like a charm, so, you know, it might be different when the game is close or after some maybe lose or something, we'll see.
How do you think, what do you think, Hartenstein? I mean, you look at, you know, you look at this team and the way they play. I mean, Hartenstein, we saw in this, I mean, you were there in Shalgir, in Kaunas.
Kaunas, right.
And I mean, we know his offensive abilities, and we know his defensive abilities. But one of the things that he really impressed me was his passing ability. Obviously, you know, he was playing with Durding in Artland, who was like this, white chocolate Jason Williams sort of fantastic fun guy, and I think that rubbed off on him. But he also saw these amazing outlet passes after the rebound, and with all these athletes, I mean, and the fact that he kind of seamlessly, you saw it in the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, you know, he really just is a, can do so many things and just fits in. How much better can this team be? And you have him as well.
So they have great runners. So, you know, those plays after rebound, they can take the ball and dribble, go coast to coast, but they can't make those passes, go crazy outlet passes like he does, you know. So that's going to be even better with him if he fits in, you know, as far as teamwork and, you know, this ego thing, if he can, you know, shoot less than he can on the in other teams. You know.
I mean, you look at, okay, you know they can run, you know they can play in transition, you know they can defend just because of the length, and there's so much equal length and equal size that their switches really don't, you know, they don't get any advantage for the other team, really doesn't get much of an advantage at all. You look at Sanders and Lager push inside. You look at the outside shooters, which are Freudenberg. You have Zirkla. Where do you think this team could be beat?
That's a tough question, man.
Yeah. Is it in your eyes? Do you see it as a they beat? They're going to beat themselves?
Kinda.
Maybe playmaking with like a Bunga and Weidemann, who play a little bit out of control, and
yeah, maybe if there is some good ball pressure, that might be red flag.
On a Bunga or Weidemann?
Yeah, they are 1 year younger, yeah, so it might be a key factor, like. But
otherwise, they play inside, they play outside.
Yeah. Like I said, there is really deep roster and versatility.
Serbia, you know, seems pretty loaded as well.
Yep.
We've kind of been talking here that it seems like their point guard still remains a question mark. I don't know if Novak Music is the point guard, and I don't know if Uskoković can do it, and I don't think Momirov is that far enough along yet. What do you think? What do you think about the Serbia team?
So I'm really impressed about them as well. Novak, right?
Novak Music.
Music.
Yeah.
So he's good, like good background point guard, I would say, like, you know, like a substitution for some really good guy to play up to 15 minutes, something like that. But you know, he doesn't run this team as well as someone else could, you know. So that might be the factor why they can't win a championship under a team this year.
And otherwise, what have you thought about Semenić?
So hard not to be impressed with not only Simon, it's also Radanov or Blisic. So I'm not sure if I can say anything more about them. They are already well known, you know. All the scouts, you know, follow them. But first of all, he has great length, so he's the biggest team in, guy in his team, but you know, he can play also outside as small forward even. So he has great shot. He struggled yesterday, but still he's really reliable. You know, he can drive to the basket, has good body, good frame. Yeah, so I'm pretty impressed. That's the first time I was watching him live, so
This team obviously has one of my personal cheese balls with Stefan Djordjevic. What do you think of him?
So he's extremely effective, you know. So everyone could tell you that. So you know, if he was 2 inches bigger, you know, he would be on the same level as Simanić, Radanov, you know, a quite big prospect. You know, unfortunately, he's like 6'8", I guess. Yeah.
Who are some of the guys so far who've impressed you? Not necessarily either of those teams, but otherwise, so some of the guys that.
Yesterday I happened to watch France game against Egypt. I was really impressed with Abdoulaye Ndoye. So it's crazy long guards, like 6'6", I guess, maybe bigger even, with huge wingspan, and he can play, he can really play point guard. You know, he can use the screen, you know, attack after pick and roll. He can also run off screen. So he's very patient with the way he plays, you know. So he doesn't force anything, you know. It's good court vision, orientation, body control. Yeah, I really like him.
From that team, you know, we didn't really see much of Jalen Watt, but Baptiste Troff obviously is one of their leaders. You know, some people like him, some people a little bit less. What do you think of him?
I really liked him, so I was in Kaunas, so I could watch 5 games of him. I really like him. He has really mature body. He looks like more like he's in his mid-20s, you know. So he has kind of leader mentality. So he's really professional. Yeah. So he can go coast to coast. Yeah. He also doesn't force bad plays, shots, you know. But it was kind of hard to motivate for this French team yesterday against Egypt. You know, younger team and, you know, some not really talented. Yeah.
Who else, what other guys out there that, let's say, opened your eyes that you didn't know, you didn't really know much about and you were really, or a guy that maybe you were looking forward to seeing that you had heard something about? And
you know, since we focus mostly on European prospects, it's always nice to see others, so from other continents, yeah, you know. So I was pretty impressed with those guys from Australia.
Kenyon?
Yeah, Kenyon Matthew, of course.
Yeah.
He's kind of good slasher, but he can also play point guard. He has good size, he's like 6'4", maybe even bigger. Huge hands, you know, he can really avoid blocks, you know, he can cover the ball with the other hand that he's not using to shoot. You know, he got some crossover, pretty good crossover moves. Yeah.
He's playing his way up the level of college, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So there are other interesting guys for college programs in these Australia teams, like maybe Lat Mayen Nai with Sudanese roots. So he's great defender, so he might be good potential 3-and-D player. Yeah.
We saw him a nice drive as well at the end of the first half against Argentina as well.
Yeah, but his intensity on defensive end is, you know, the thing that stands out the most about him.
So you've seen now 2.5 games of Francisco Cafaro, the 2000er for Argentina, who was also at the TBF tournament
in Turkey.
In Turkey this a couple months ago. What have you thought about him?
So he's really competitive. Got really competitive nature, you know. I remember just arrived his step on the court in his first game against this 2 years older competition. You know, he started to play without any respect, you know. He wanna show that he's already ready to compete against older, more physical, maybe for now better guys, but you know, he's definitely a prospect to keep an eye on. He can run well also for his height. It's like 7'1".
Yeah, he was one of the guys I was really looking forward to seeing because I was watching a little bit of the video from there. From where were they? Samsung.
I think it was Samsung.
Obviously the 18s are going to be in Samsung, and it seems to me that this Turkish team is in turmoil. You know, there's lots of stuff going on with Omer at 7. You know, they don't have Mayohan Mustafa here, is one of the leaders of the 99. You know, we've both only seen this team once, this Turkish team once. We lost a pretty clear, it was a pretty clear result, defeat yesterday against Serbia. Obviously the big name is Onur Altpatin, who I thought looked interesting. We saw that is that he struggled, if you want to say that, yesterday from the outside. And obviously their other guys are Umar Al and
who also struggled yesterday.
Who also struggled, I think 0-13 to combine. And then obviously there's the big Ahmet Can Duran, who you saw at the inset at the AD&GNT in Kaunas.
Right.
What'd you think of him? I mean, with Batim and Duran were two guys that, strangely enough, one of the things you're looking at is the body, more than anything else. Tell us about the body for Duran especially.
So I can see some difference in his body. You know, I think he lost some weight, like maybe even 15 pounds or something like that after Kaunas, so it's been only 2.5 months, so it's pretty impressive, but I can see improvement in his running mechanics, so that's great. And I'm very high on him, you know. I like centers who can really pass, so he has great perimeter game.
You gotta tell Chan about that. He doesn't like it. Chan Philister.
So he's 99 also, right?
One of the things that I'm kind of worried about looking forward to tonight's game is the fact that he's, I think he's what, something like 5 of 20 or something like that from the field in the two games or something like that?
Yeah, 5 from 19, I guess. I think he takes too many shots from like, you know, 5-6 meters away, you know. It's not his like...
Especially because he's so effective and efficient
with good
footwork around the basket.
Yeah, sure.
And thoughts about Batim? Have you seen him before? About Onur Altpatin?
No, that's first time I happen to see him. So first thing that stands out about him is his athleticism, his great lower body. So he's a great athlete. So and he can also cut very well. You know, he open spots on the court. You know, and he uses that. So he's also a good shooter, but since we said that he struggled yesterday, it's kind of weird. We'll see what happens next. Yes, he's a very good prospect. Yeah.
Was there
he still didn't turn 17.
Right. Was there anybody that you came in wanting to see and they actually disappointed you?
Oh yeah. So it's Jalen Hart. So
99 for France.
Yeah, I'm very high on him. He's like my one of my favorite prospects. He's my cheese ball.
Your cheese ball. Like, there you go.
Awesome. Is yours. So he wasn't really active yesterday against Egypt. Like I said, maybe it was hard to motivate for them, but it's always a bad thing. Yeah, you have to compete no matter who you play against. You know, especially this age. You know, with all the people that wanna watch you, they can. I'll watch you every week, like once a few months, so you have to impress them then, you know.
I know the coaches are, you know, coaches like to send messages, say, if you don't play defense, you don't play. Is that something that you think might, I mean, how did he defend in Kaunas? And I don't know, I'm not saying he doesn't play defense. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just trying, because I'd never seen him live, so I'm just trying to figure out also why he didn't play. And why he hasn't played well yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he's a bad defender or something. No, he's kind of not very good also, but it's kind of normal still can develop at this thing. So, but like I said, he wasn't really active. He showed in Kaunas has great feel for rebounds and great game reading ability, and he was really passive yesterday, like kind of absent-minded or whatever.
Anybody else said you thought, what happened to him?
Not really. Maybe Greece was kind of disappointing, right?
The entire team?
Yeah, right. But, you know, we wanted to see younger Agravanis, very good, yeah. So we wanted to see him, but it was hard to be impressed about his
And even Luntzis, the point guard, the Panathinaikos point guard, you know, I think a problem is, one of the problems with the Greeks is once they get to a big club, they don't play, and you see that with Papadiannis and Haralampopoulos, you know, they're going to probably play U20s Division B as 18 European champions, but they're going to just, also because they need to play, and it's in Greece, but this Greece team, they have a they're in serious danger of maybe even going down at the 18, so maybe they could even go down to Division B.
I'm also probably heading to Greece for final 3 days of Under 20 Division B this year, but you know, I was thinking if anyone can make this roster, but I'm not really sure.
They'll probably bring, I don't know what the time frame is for the 18s. I mean, they're going to have to bring everybody they can to 18s just because they need to stay in the 18s.
Yeah.
We saw Italy yesterday really pull away from Greece. Lorenzo Penna.
Oh, he took over in the third quarter.
Was there anybody on there that really impressed you?
Yeah, so Davide Moretti is the guy who impressed me. So he's putting really big numbers on this tournament. So he's very creative, flashy. So his body is really weak. It's really easy to box him out. We could even see some, guards from Greece playing low post game against him. So that's a bad thing about him. But he's very quick, really reliable shooter, as well. So he's very good in open court. I wish he was better after pick and roll.
Trying to think if we've. I think we've kind of touched on every team. One team we didn't get was we'll come back to them, was Egypt. Obviously, Egypt's a very young team. But was there, I mean, you know, I think they have 3 2000ers, and then I think they only have 2 98s. We saw Saifuddin Olsen on Dinley, go for 25 and 15.
Yeah.
Just a... an effective low post guy. Just, you know, he's like the old veteran for this team.
Yeah,
was there anybody? I mean, obviously, their goal is the under 17 world championship, and even the under 19 world championship for next year, and trying to get these guys. You know, their next generation of guys are like Tarek Rafat and Youssef Abdarao. What do you think of them?
So I must say they really impressed me. They are better than I expected, you know. So Hassan Abdul is another potential cheeseball for you.
It was a nice game.
Yeah.
It takes more than just one game to become a cheeseball.
Yeah. But speaking of Rafat and Abradu, so they're very good drivers, you know. They have good penetration game. And if you take a look at the shot chart of Egypt, so they took almost only threes, and only the other attempts were from the paint, so there's no really perimeter game there. Yeah. So they could, you know, they are really small, so they could develop some good touch on floaters or some pull-up jumpers, you know. I think that's the red flag, room for improvement for them.
Trying to think who we saw them against.
Against France.
Against France, right, against France.
But, you know, they're fearless, you know.
Yeah.
They don't worry that someone rejected them over the ring. They keep trying. Really good attitude,
You didn't see China?
Yeah, unfortunately.
In USA? You decided to come back to Mannheim?
To see another blow,
and you missed the overtime game. Let me just give you a little bit about the Chinese. Obviously, they're big. Zhu Rongchen, I think he went for something like 25 and 16 and something like 12 fouls drawn and stuff in the first game. He picked up 3 fouls in the first 3 minutes, and really, when he finally came in, was you know, he played pretty well. He played under control. He picked up the fourth, but then I think he got 2 blocks, even with the 4 fouls. And he's really long. He's not as skinny as like a Zhu Ji, but you know, he's got a little more physicality to him. He's got a little of a mean streak. I liked Bai Hao Tian, who was at the Basketball Without Borders. He was also at the Jordan camp last year. A lefty shooter, can drive.
You have soft spot for lefties.
I do have a soft spot, and that's I think that's what makes Djordjevic much more, you know. But you know, they have a really small little point guard in Zhu Ji. And he's really kind of the heart and soul of that team. That, you know, is a real, you know, when it was every time the Americans, you know, scored a basket, you know, he came up, you know, he had a huge 3, came up with an and one, missed the bonus free throw, which was kind of needed in regulation. But you know, one thing I really see is they're getting athletes. These Chinese guys. I mean that warm up with like 12, 15 minutes left, it's worth it to go check out their dunks. You know, they can get up and they can run and stuff, you know. And you know, you look at what they are starting to do, it's pretty impressive. And I think that, and this obviously is a 99 team, and their sole goal is to get ready for the under 17 World Championship. And with the size that they have, and also they have a shooter, Huang Rongqi, you know, there's a lot to like on this team. And you know, with the Europeans will be strong, and the America, USA, and Canada will be strong, but I think this China team is pretty good. In general, you know, this is probably my 5th or even 6th time I've been to this tournament, the Albert Schweitzer. You know, it's my baby, I love it, and I'll even take a loss financially on it. You had 3 days. It's not the same as it was. when the U.S. Army was involved, and what are your thoughts about this and everything? You saw both venues, you kind of got a feel for the whole thing. What do you think about it?
So I think it's really well organized, you know. So the arena is really packed, not only when German plays, you know, plays. So it's a good thing about it. So, you know, there is big interest. Yeah. Facility is very good. So, yeah.
Was it worth it?
Yep.
Yeah? Nothing else to come on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back and catch the end of this Argentina-Australia game. Before we go, let people know how they can follow you, where they can read you, pimp your stuff.
So you can read my articles on newbasketballgeneration.com. So like I said, this scouting service approved by NCAA. And you can also follow me on Twitter when I tweet some, you know, things that I realize at the moment, some my personal opinions.
What's your Twitter account?
It's kind of hard, it's Polish.
Okay.
At Bronislav NBG. So maybe I can spell it.
Sure, sure.
So Bronislaw NBG.
I'll put a link to it on the Facebook page. Oh, and
I haven't been spelling anything since primary school.
Well, you still did a good job.
Yeah,
Ronick, I'm not even gonna try the last name. Actually, give the last name so we at least hear it right once. Bronick.
Babzinchuk.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you then in. Are you going to be in Berlin for
two days at least?
All right, fantastic.
Okay, it was just a really nice meeting and hanging out with Bronick. Definitely go check him out on Twitter. Has some really good stuff. I will post the Twitter feed, the Twitter handle in the notes for the podcast. Let's see if I can get that really quick and see if you can. Where is he? It's Bronislav, so Bronislav NBG, New Basketball Generation. So go ahead and check that out. All right, so the other interview will be with, his name is Mohammed Abdel Motaleb, and he is the vice president of the Egyptian Basketball Federation. Egypt has been awarded the as hosts for the Under-19 World Championship next season. And they will also be hosting the Under-18 FIBA Africa Under-18 European FIBA Africa Under-18 Championship for Women this summer. So they are getting some hosting. I talk a lot about the advances, the excellent performances that they've had, the Egyptians have had at the youth levels. So we talk a lot about that. And so you'll get an idea of why I wanted to talk to him and get his insight into how things are going on in the basketball world in Egypt. So without further ado, here's that interview.
Okay, so, Mohammed Abdel Motaleb.
Yeah, you can call me Tolba.
Tolba.
Yes, it's easier.
We're here at the Albert Schweitzer tournament.
Yes.
You are the vice president of the Egyptian Basketball Federation.
Yes.
Maybe let's first start off with your thoughts about having the opportunity for Egypt and their players here to play at this tournament that has a lot of prestige.
Well, it was a very good surprise for us that we are chosen, selected to participate here. We have been working on the youth national teams since 5 or 6 years. Now we are ranked 15 worldwide on FIBA ranking in the youth category. So selecting us is indicates that we are on the right track. Still a little bit far from Europe. But playing with the European countries and playing here in this international tournament will add a lot to us and a lot to, for the boys. So hopefully this will help us continue improving and closing the gap with Europe.
We'll come to maybe a little bit of the player field that you guys have with both, but what's the biggest thing that you want these guys to take out of it? You know, yesterday they played a team like Greece. You know, today you're going against France. You know, these are the top of Europe that really you would only play in a world championship. Yeah. So what's the main thing you guys want to give to them, have them take out of this?
All right, this team is younger. It's under 17. It's not under 18. Some of them are playing in Europe for the first time, so they face this very tough, strong national teams for the first time in their lives. We don't have 4 or 5 of our best players. They are playing in America, in the States, and in schools, and some and in Spain. So it's not our best team, our strongest team. So what I ask those boys that to get whatever they can, to get exposed to the toughness, the speed, the athleticism of the European national team, and get back. So when they play in Spain in June, they can do something better. They can present Egypt more, let's say, in suitable way. They can present Africa and qualify for the quarterfinal. I believe that this team can be in the quarterfinal in Spain.
Egypt, between 1984 and 2008, at the under 18 level, only took second place once.
Yeah.
And since then, it's first place, third place, and first place.
Yes.
At the 16, U16 level, three first places, and the second place to Angola in 13. So you've been to three of the last four U19s. We'll come to next year's in a minute, and then all four U17s.
Yes.
What happened? What did you guys do? What happened, let's say, in 2008? What happened when did what happen to kind of bring basketball back, let's say, back to Egypt?
Well, actually, it started in 2003, 2004, when the federation imposed a combined system that each senior team has to bring an under-16 team with them in every competition. So we imposed on the all the clubs that they have to work harder with the national junior teams, and then we started. It took 3-4 years. When the clubs started working on this, and then in 2008 and 2009, getting good coaches, making a good preparation, that helped us a lot with the system that we had, that we imposed on the clubs, and we started generating cultivating what we seeded in 2003-2004, and this is not the end. Still, we have a lot of ideas.
Are you happy? Is the Federation happy with where you're at right now? I mean, you can say that you're dominating the youth in Africa, but you haven't necessarily gotten the results. I'll come back to maybe a couple of the tournaments in a minute. But are you happy with where the development is so far?
In Africa, yes. Globally, no. I'm not satisfied. I want to improve. Right now I'm 15, as I told you, in the junior or in men. I'm 24 for the women, but I'm not satisfied. I think we can have a better place and a better ranking. We have a lot of talents in the pipeline. We have like 20-25 players who were out of the national teams and are playing in America. This year we had our our first player playing pro in Lithuania. He's 23 years old, and this is the production of the national team. So being in the World Championships is fine. I'm happy, but I'm not satisfied with the level, with the ranking. Yes, last year and the year before we came 11 and we came 13, but our target will be a quarterfinal.
In 2012 at the U17s, the team was beating the USA in the much of the first quarter.
Yeah.
You went to overtime against Australia,
yeah,
and you lost by 1 point in
overtime.
And you lost by 1 point against Lithuania, the hosts.
Yeah.
This was at the under 17s in 2014. At the at the 14s, at the 2014, you beat Philippines and Japan, which I assume you think those are the teams that you should be able to beat. Thoughts about the levels that you guys had at those two tournaments?
Well, FIBA considers that Asia is much stronger than Africa, and that is, in, to an extent, is true, is valid. But since we are working heavily on our youth, we are trying to bring the best coaches, we are trying to have a good preparation system for the teams, we are trying to make them play in Europe and have a constant development program. I think we can get closer to Europe. We want to close the gap with Europe. We want to compete on the on a higher level. So yes, those were a great performance, but not a great result. Now we are looking for a great performance and a great result. I think we can have it shortly in 3 and 4 years.
How much was, when you guys were planning this, how much was knowing that you might have to send the kids to the States? How much was that in the plans, you know, high schools, and hopefully that a school, that a college would go and take somebody? You know, you look at Anas in Louisville, Amin has done really well down in Texas. But how much was it in your plans, knowing you might have to send them to the States to get to that next level?
No, it's a part of our plan, but again, I'm not satisfied. Personally, I'm not satisfied that every year we send 3 or 4 players to America. I'm looking to send 10 players every year. I want to send 10 players, and now America, schools and universities know that there is a country in North Africa that has a lot of talent, so they started looking at us. I believe Anas could be the first Egyptian player who could join an NBA team, and this will be a great asset, and he will put a lot of exposure to the young generation. The players here are looking at Anas and waiting what he will do. So yes, we are improving, and America is looking at us, schools and universities, but it's not the end. I need more.
Do you have is there actively colleges coming to you and saying, hey, you know, we're looking for more guys? What do you have?
Yes, a lot of them.
Okay.
A lot of them.
If you look at the AfroBasket, took the first podium in 13 since 2003, and then you with that group, then you went to the World Cup. I assume you're going to say it was a disappointment going there, with the result at least. But what did that give that group? Again, it's exposure playing at that level, I assume. Is that how you guys see that?
Yes, it was great playing back in the World Cup after 20 years of absence. I was playing in 94, and since then we did not qualify for the World Cup. So it was great exposure and for basketball to play back in the World Cup. 2015 were not. I think we did good. We lost only one game, but we won everything else. But we are getting ready for 2019. I think our team, after the new qualification system, after 5 teams from Africa will be in the World Cup in China, I think Egypt will be there. Hopefully we will be ready enough to not only to participate, but to perform better and to give a good impression about Egyptian basketball.
Back to the high schools really quick. How close are you, and I mean, I assume it's a goal, but to have the high talents also maybe stay in Egypt? Is that something that you want to see soon? Are they to the level where they're going to want to stay in Egypt, like the higher level talents, and not go to the States or whatever? Is that important for the Federation that the clubs then keep those guys as well?
No, the clubs will not stand in their way. Any player who gets a decent opportunity to join a school or a university, we can go. The issue is that we are working on both paths. I mean, sending the best players to America, to schools and universities. On the other hand, we have to work on the local league. We have to make it better and stronger. So whenever we have the chance to combine both players from locally, domestically, and internationally, either in Europe or in America, then we have a good team that will do something good for Egypt.
You said a couple times, it's not over, we want to do more. What are the big things that you guys are working on now, the next push in basketball in general, not just youth level, just in general, to take it to that next level?
Well, we are looking to hire a big name coach for the senior national men, and we are in the progress of negotiating with some very, very big names in basketball world. I hope we can catch someone. And we are changing drastically the system within the Egyptian league in terms of the youth and in terms of the senior men. So hopefully our league will be much stronger. Having good coach, having the players in America, and sending them back either to Egypt or to play pro in Europe, I think Egypt can go to the next level.
How is the financial support? I assume it's from the sports ministry. How is that? How is that in general? I mean, is it getting better? Is it? I mean, maybe talk a little bit about how it was at, you know, whatever, 10 years ago in 2003, and you know where it is now, and if it's getting better.
It's okay. It's not that bad. Every federation is complaining from the money, the financials. However, if you want to improve, you have to spend more. But when we had the honor to host the World Championship next year in 2017 in Cairo, and the ministry is very excited, and the minister himself said, whatever you want, I will support you. So I believe this could be a very good start for us if we do something good in the World Championship. The support will continue till 2019. And by then, the funding could be much higher from the sponsor and promotion and so on.
Is that kind of the next step that you also see? I mean, Egypt is also hosting the under 18 Africa Championship for women. You guys, the men for under 19 World Championship. Is that sort of the next thing that you want also to host these events as well, to also raise awareness so that people can see the fans, raise awareness of basketball, and then also see the players that are the leaders of the future? Is that the next step as well? Maybe a world championship hosting or a co-host of a world championship or something like that?
Yes, the last big event that was hosted in Egypt was in Alexandria in 2003. It was an African championship. Never Egypt a bid for a world championship, and never was hosted in Africa. So I think this is too late for Egypt. We should have asked for this earlier, but I think we have to capitalize on hosting that World Championship. We almost every 1 or 2 years host an African Championship. We are focusing on girls and women. Now we are 24 on the women. We did not have a ranking before 3 or 4 years. Ranked 60 on the women, and we did not have a ranking before. So we are working on the women. We're trying to host and to give the girls more confidence and that they can compete. And now they are improving. We have 3 or 4 players, girls are playing in America as well. And I think there are a lot of talents that can go, but the culture is different. But being a basketball superhouse required that you host big big events. So this is the first event that Egypt hosts, and I think it could be the first step, a big step, but it's only a step.
Let's talk a little bit about the under 17 World Championship. Ahmed Khalef, this will be his second under 17 World Championship, which is really, you know, I don't think there's been one. I don't think there's been a player. I have to look, but I don't think there's been a player who we playing to World Championship, especially such a role. I mean, he, you know, 2 years ago, you know, he played a big role. You know, you have Essam Mustafa, you have these guys who are getting this experience here. What kind of expectations do you have going into that tournament?
Quarterfinal. I want the quarterfinal. And they know that we want the quarterfinal. With Bibu, with Essam in America, we have other very good two players there. If we can combine them all with the preparation that they have right now, starting May, they will be all together. I think we can make it to the quarterfinal, and this is a very important step for us to hosting World Championship, because if we do this in Spain, they have to do it in Cairo. The minister is asking, the federation is asking, the crowd are asking that we do a good performance and good results in Cairo 2017. So here in Germany, this is our first step to Cairo 2017.
Talk a little bit about Bebo. He's the first guy. You've had guys go to the States. Manresa came in and said, hey, we'll give you a long-term deal to come to Spain.
Yeah.
You must have been pretty excited to have a Spanish club.
Yeah.
That means it's opening the doors to a whole nother market.
Yes.
Thoughts about, and he's playing well there, which is also important. Thoughts about Bebo going over to Spain.
Yes, actually, the club was hesitating, and then I called his coach, and I told him, coach, if your son is getting a chance to play in Spain, will you refuse? He told me, no, I will help him. I will. I told him, thank you. So Bebo is contacting with me in almost every 2 or 3 days. I'm happy with his performance. I think he can open the market, as you said, for Spain and for more European countries to come and see what we have in Egypt. I believe he will do good in the Spain World Cup. As you said, not many players play 2 World Cups under 17, but he's a real talent, and he can do very good things to his country.
How important is he for the future of Egyptian basketball? Without putting pressure on him, but how important is he?
I think he, Asim Marai, who is in Lithuania, Anas, in Louisville.
And Amin.
Yes, we have Amin, and we have also two other players in America, and they are playing four and five, power forward and center. I think we can have very good team shortly, 2 or 3 years. I think we can have very strong team.
Everywhere you see Egypt at the world stage, the under 19 World Championship, the under 17 World Championship, you have Branislav Jemsch, your coach there.
Yeah.
Talk about him, talk about how important he is, and really coming in and saying, you know, I'm fully supportive of what you guys are doing. How important is coach for all this?
Coach Branislav is working with us since 3 years. Now he knows the Egyptian culture. We are different than Europe, but he knows the Egyptian culture. He knows how to deal with those kids, and he's always looking 1 or 2 years younger. So he knows where he can find the talents. He knows how to deal with them, and he's doing very good job, very good results. And he knows that everybody is looking for him in Spain, especially, that he will do something good. Last year in Greece, we could be in the quarterfinal. We lost to Spain 6 or 7 points in the last 2 minutes, and we blamed him, but that's the nature of the game. But we appreciate what he has done for Egyptian basketball, but we still look for more.
Last question. Talk about where basketball is really a hotbed in Egypt, you know, where it's really popular, where a lot of the guys are coming from. What are the hotbeds of basketball in Egypt?
It's mainly Cairo and Alexandria. It's always a competition between Cairo and Alexandria. But actually Alexandria is working more on the youth and that helping it a lot. So let's say for 5-6 years, they are dominating the senior national teams from Alexandria. I'm talking as a city. Cairo, although they a big population, but not working effectively with the youth and the senior men. So the competition will continue, but I think Alexandria was still dominating for 3 or 4 more years.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much.
All right, fantastic stuff on that as well. I'm really happy that I was able to meet him and chat with him, and we'll definitely see him next summer at the Under-19s. With that, I'm going to close the show. Like I said, I need to get this thing up and on the website and in the social media so that I can get to the game on time. So go out and check out Bronick on Twitter, follow the Facebook group, and enjoy the hoops. Obviously some fantastic stuff going on at the Albert Schweitzer EuroLeague, and NBA is starting to kind of come to the final stretch as well before the playoffs. Although I guess there's a few more weeks on that one. But in general, enjoy. Last thing, obviously, need to let you know what you're listening to. Song is called Out of Time, and it is from The Spectacular Fantastic. So enjoy that, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, my name is Sergio Scariolo, and you are listening to Taking the Charge.